Hey, everybody. My name is Damara West, and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live on their own terms. And I am delighted to welcome you into the Global Abundance Summit, which is all about helping you to tap into more fully your power to draw in more money, more joy, and more ease. And I have my sister, Anyango Asantewa, which is the founder and the CEO of the Fly Movement LLC. For over 15 years, she has been using her experiences to help individuals, primarily women over the age of 40, to discover themselves, create a roadmap on how to get there, and coach them along the way so that they have the support and encouragement to get to the finish line. In addition to her over 40 years of experience as a dancer and a master teaching artist in various dance mediums, Sister Anyango has also been a university visiting lecturer. Additionally, she's an award-winning empowerment freedom coach, a motivational speaker, and a published author, and I'm sure many, many, many other things which we're going to explore today. Sister Anyango, I am so glad that you are here with me.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on this platform to really, really dive into the energy around abundance. I'm excited.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. It's going to be a juicy conversation. I just know it. All right. So my sister, the first thing that I want to explore with you is just abundance, right? So what does abundance mean to you? And how would you describe your abundantly, beautifully created life?
So let me back up a little bit to create a context for our conversation. FLY is an acronym which means freedom to love the you and you. So always your opportunity to free up the energy in the body and love and accept yourself for exactly who you are. So now we're entering into the energy of 16 years. We launched this platform in 2007 as a way for primarily women 40 plus to really feel a sense of self, to really gauge a sense of self, to really determine that now is the time for them to be able to open up their lives and do it very differently. By the time we reach that beautiful age of 40, which I at 39 was chomping at the bit, couldn't wait to turn 40. It's that energy of where am I? I've gotten into the energy of relationships, marriage, family, partnership, children, education, career. So what about me? What about me? Who am I? Where am I in relationship to everything that I have on my platter? Because our plates have moved to platters now. And so what is this about me? Where am I? Who am I? So this energy was created for women to be able to create that, to explore that in a place of safety, comfort, love, support, worthiness, deserving, to be able to say now, I can now determine what I'm worthy and deserving of. I no longer have to live in an energy of lack. Lack meaning what someone said I'm supposed to do, what someone said I'm supposed to have, what someone said, this is your life and that's it. No, we're worthy and deserving of abundance, meaning plenty. So we get an opportunity to really explore how we pour into that vessel of plenty. So we no longer have to pour out from the empty, we can pour out from the plenty, thus the abundance, more than enough, the absence of lack, endless opportunities for us to be able to garner, to receive, to be worthy and deserving of in our FLY, freedom to love the you and you life.
That was beautiful. Of course, and I imagine other people have heard abundance described in this way, right? Quite in your voice, right? And not quite when you're talking about, you know, this overflow and giving from a place of plentifulness. And knowing that we can always, we're always replenishing ourselves through abundance practices, right? And that work never ends, because if the work begins to end, then our cup dries up, right? And so the only way to keep the cup full is through practice. And yet, as we're talking about practice, so many people understand many practices and yet don't utilize these practices, right? It's an afterthought. So speak to us about how we can ensure that the pouring of our cup doesn't leave from our state of consciousness.
that becomes a state of mind. That becomes something that we allow to be a practice. Mm. And giving ourselves permission, first of all, to have it. So if we're not necessarily consciously aware that, as you and I talked about before we started to record, that abundance is our birthright, right? If that's not something that's commonplace, if that's not something that we know to be true and feel, because there's a difference between know to be true, feel to be true, mm-hmm. head and heart kind of integration. So we may know that to be true. Yeah, I'm worthy and deserving. Yeah, it's my birthright. But do I feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel that I'm worthy and deserving? Because once I feel it, nothing and no one can take that away from me. That means that in that heart space, in connection with my higher power, that feeling this, not knowing this, but feeling this, there's nothing that's going to stop me from being mindful of my abundance, what I'm worthy and deserving of, endless opportunities in my life. So I never have to stay in stagnation. I may slide into it because I'm in a lesson mode. I'm in a mode where I'm learning what is next for me. So there's moments where we are still, where it's time for us to learn. What am I being triggered by? What's coming up in my space? What do I need to know now from my higher power in order to move the needle forward, in order to level up, in order to get to the next place of my existence? So there are moments where we are still so that we can learn and grow and get what the next energy is for the next level of abundance, because we know that there are stages. So I feel like in order for us to feel worthy and deserving, there's a place we have to get rid of the back there stuff. Mm-hmm. And the back there stuff is what we may be triggered by, what may be vestiges of trauma that have dumped itself in our present, which may be preventing and stopping and blocking our willingness to give ourselves permission to be worthy and deserving of abundance.
Mm, yeah.
So it starts there. So our willingness to do the work, our willingness to take the path, to take the risk, to be in connection with someone who can love us and support us, to be able to tackle the back there stuff, feel it, heal it, release it, let it go. So then, whoa, okay. So now there are endless opportunities, and now I can feel them and go for them.
Yeah. You know, what I equate it to is it becoming like the air that we breathe.
Absolutely.
We just wake up and this is what we do, because we know not to do it means that we aren't living our lives as fully as we could be. Having abundance be something that becomes so important to us that we start our days with it. We schedule it. We ground ourselves in it. We affirm our way through it. We speak to our higher power whenever we need to. We're consistently asking for support, asking for guidance, and curating time and space for us to be still so that we can hear whatever messaging is for us. And I love that you said, you know, yes. We slide, this sliding, right? Because there's going to be times when we flow, because we're practicing, but we reach a point in our lives where we've got to go through some stuff, some hardship, because it's a part of getting to the next level. So even how we perceive that sliding to be is essential to ensuring that we can navigate through this in order to take us to whatever that next level is.
Yes, absolutely. Because I really feel like I've come to this energy of, I'm either doing one or two things in any given moment. I'm either learning a lesson or earning a blessing. It's up to me to know which one I'm in the moment.
Yeah.
Because if I'm learning a lesson, it may suck. It may feel awful. I may be struggling. But I need to stick and stay and continue navigating through it again with love and support, because we don't do anything by ourselves in a vacuum on our own. The energy we have to move for sure, but we do it with an energy of love and support. And I emphasize that often because I feel like, particularly for women, we have come to learn, to understand, be reinforced that we have to get it done. We have to do it on our own. We have to put on the big girl panties and get it done. No. That's not a thing for us anymore. There's no such thing as hurry up and heal. There's no such thing as having to do it on our own. No, we get to do this in connection with community. Mm-hmm. We get to do this with love and support. We get to do this in an energy of safety where we're comfortable in the uncomfortability of our vulnerability.
What just came to me, and we talk about ancestral trauma a lot. This isn't a new body of work. And, you know, you said that there was a time didn't have that space where there was no space to heal. There was no space to rest. And some of us are still operating as if we are back in time, right?
Correct.
Versus this recognition that we have all the freedom. And even when we think about the freedom of the mind, you know, even in prison, we can find joy and peace and all the things, even when we're locked up, right? Because people can't control our mind, right? And under the most horrific circumstances, we can still find joy. We can still find peace. And if we're talking about not being in confinement, mm-hmm. And we're talking about just being in this state of like pure freedom, where there's no bars. And that's the case for people who are tuning in. Like, we don't have to wait on anything. We don't have to subscribe to this idea that we have to grind and this idea that we have to do it alone. And this idea that, you know, this is the price that I pay to be in this Black body or to be in this body of a woman or to be, no, like we can defy all of that. Right. And, but so that's often right. We give our power away, as Alice Walker said. And so how do we ensure that we're not giving our power away, that we confront some of this ancestral trauma, some of the lived experience of trauma that we have endured, so that we don't allow that to block us from the lives that we are truly worthy of just because we're here on this planet?
Right. I think part of it is what you're doing is, and that's convening this platform. And in addition to that, really find yourself into circles of support.
Mm.
Find them. Gravitate towards circles of support that can begin to reinforce, give ourselves permission to live this way now.
Yeah.
It's not way over there. It's right here. And that's because giving ourselves permission to live our lives on our own terms, to sort of restructure, redefine, reframe what's true for us now is an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Because the ancestral energy, and I don't say ancestral curses as many do, I say patterns. So mm-hmm. We have trauma patterns, you know, we have generational patterns. And so once we recognize that the generational patterns of negativity or toxicity no longer work for us, then we go to work with mm-hmm. breaking them
mm-hmm.
so that those patterns don't live in our children's children. So we make decisions to do the work on for ourselves. So then we give permission for our children to live their lives differently. And then they're parenting their children differently. And thus the generational shift begins to occur.
Yeah.
It starts with us to do that gunky, funky work so that we can then empower our children and they can then raise their children differently, which would be our grandchildren, which is what I clearly see is happening with many. I know I came to be a cycle breaker and I'm doing it easy. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yes.
Yeah. I did 11 years of my own therapeutic intervention, 11 years, so that it gave me now the impetus, the wherewithal, the information in my body, the support to be able to lend to those who come to me for that kind of support to help them with the healing.
Yeah.
So the work has got to be done. There's no skipping over.
Absolutely. Well, and you said it, right? The minute that we choose, right? The minute that we first recognize that these ancestral patterns, as you beautifully described, are no longer in service of the life that we want, that is the minute that we can be open to doing the work that's necessary to then co-creating the lives that we want. And so knowing that we just have that right to choose anytime, all the time, there are multiple choices that we have. You know, we have more than, you know, we make more than 60,000 decisions a day. And so countless opportunities for us to lean into that. So we both know that abundance and freedom go hand in hand. How do you help people find abundance as a freedom coach?
In this space, we work in five areas. when someone comes into Empowerment Freedom Coaching, they make an agreement with themselves to do the work on themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm there to love them, support them through the process. It's a 6-month commitment for themselves with their time and resources. We work in 5 areas. One is your fly relationship standard. And everything is fly because we always go back to freedom to love the you and you. You should be free to be yourself unapologetically in the relationships that you hold. Mm. So we look at the relationship standard. That's the first thing we do when we come into this space. We want to make sure that we're clear about what we want, what we need, what we desire in a relationship, and what's non-negotiable. We get to determine that. I get to say what I want, what I need, what I desire in a relationship, and I get to say what's non-negotiable. This space has been open since COVID. Every single woman that I've coached has said, I've never thought about that. Mm. Because no one said we could.
Yes.
No one said that we can define what we need. Need is a big one. We get to have a need. It's not negative. It's not weakness. It's strength. When I can identify what I need,
mm-hmm.
I want what I need, because that's human. If we're not mindful of our needs and our needs aren't cared for, we fail to thrive. Just with babies, same thing with humans. It doesn't matter our age. So what we want, what we need, what we desire, what's non-negotiable. I don't have to tolerate disrespect. Uh-huh. I don't have to tolerate violence and abuse. I don't have to tolerate being dismissed or disregarded. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So non-negotiable in my relationship. Right. Mm-hmm. Number 2, we want to be able to make sure that we have an all access pass to our feelings. We get to have them now, express them, share them. 3, boundaries. Oh, I can create a boundary. Mm-hmm. I can implement it. I can hold it. I can do that.
Yeah.
The power. I don't have to say yes if I want to say no.
Come on.
That can be a tough one, because no one ever said we can say no. We're supposed to, okay, yes, I'll do it. We really don't want to do it. Because it's disrupting our energy of peace to do it, but we do it anyway because that's the expectation. No. No is a complete sentence and requires no further explanation. Now, I can if I want to, but I don't have to. If I said no, that's it. Mm. And then the last, number 5, is ensuring you know who is your fly energy of love and support. How do we define that? The way that it came across is that when we're making phone calls, not emails, not texts, not DMs, not, you know, message on Instagram, phone calls. Mm. I'm in crisis. I need to call someone at 3:00 in the morning. Now, you and I both know if someone calling us at 3:00 in the morning, it's a crisis, because mm-hmm. you're not emailing, texting, DMing. So who can you call at 3:00 in the morning and you know they're going to pick up the phone on the other end? Those are your ride or dies.
Yeah.
It's 6:00 in the morning now. It's not 3, 6. Who can you call? Those folks are in your tribe. It's 9:00 in the morning now. Who can you call? Still in crisis now. Those folks are in your circle. Now, 12 noon, you can't call them at 3:00, 6:00, 9:00, because they're not going to answer the phone. But 12:00, they're going to answer the phone. Those are your arms of support. We need to know who we can call when we need someone. That's how we know who's in our circle of influence, who's in our circle of support. And it's a small list. Mm. It's not tons of people. If you have 2 hands, that's it. And that's good.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we want to do is be in crisis and call the wrong person at 3:00 in the morning and they're not answering the phone.
Right. Because, you know, that can certainly create more spiraling, right? When we don't have the support that we relied on to have. So I appreciate that you broke down the layers of support, right? And it's not just this question of who you can rely on. It's like we need to really parse through this. And what I know to be true is that there are many people on the planet who would say, right? They don't have anyone to rely on. So where do you start with those individuals who say, it's just me?
And so that actually happened in the studio. I introduced this concept in the studio one Saturday morning, and 2 women looked at each other and they're like, Sichuan Yango. And they started getting upset and they started to cry. And then something really miraculous in the studio happened. And I'm getting emotional when I think about that moment, because I can go right back to it. When they said, I know I would pick up the phone if someone's calling me at 3 in the morning. But me calling someone at 3:00 in the morning, I don't have anyone. Mm. Because we've curated this energy of love and support in the studio, immediately women in the studio said, oh, you can call me. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Let me give you my phone number right now, because I'm not about to have another sister not be able to feel that they're loved and supported. Call me. And that's what I mean about making sure we're aligned in circles of love and support, whether it's your faith-based, community-based, wherever those spaces might be. And if you feel like right now you're listening to me and we're here together and you don't have that, then there's a place where they can connect with either you and me so we can help them to create that.
Yes, and I will stand with you in that. And I felt the power of that in connection. This is one of the things that makes community so viable, right?
Right.
Because there are multiple needs and desires that can be met in the context of community. You know, I talk about often the power of individual healing, and we need spaces for individual sacred healing. I get on my mat and I practice, I teach sometimes, right? But usually I'm on my mat by myself, alone, right? Just with me and source during that practice. That is a part of my go-to, right? When I do Reiki on myself, that's an individual practice. And yet I know that part of my evolution is also rooted in my ability to connect in deep ways in community, right? And this is one of the themes that keep coming up in the summit. And I know that we talk about community often, but I don't think that we really understand the value of community, particularly for women like this that are saying, I have no one. And that is real. Right. So this idea that you have no one, like the thought of that is heartbreaking. And I wasn't even there. And I can feel that. Right. And for people to say, you got us, like, and that is not a small feat. And so we should never say we've got somebody's back unless we really have it, particularly for people who are most vulnerable. Right. Because it will only harm them more. And so as my sister said, if you're listening and that's you, please reach out to either one of us and we will make sure that we find a place for you, whether it's within our spaces or elsewhere, wherever you may lie. Oh, that was really, really beautiful. Real time work, sis. So speaking of being fly, right? I imagine that you use a formula when you're helping people to really elevate to that fly state. And so what's your secret, right, to helping people to have a framework of abundance within their lives?
Three things. Something that if I listened to all the naysayers 16 years ago, you and I would not be having this conversation. If I listened to well-meaning folks that, girl, you about to quit that good job with them good benefits? What's wrong with you? You know, you're a mom of four. What do you think is going to happen to you if you quit that job with them good benefits, girl? You better not do that. I did it.
Yes.
I did. And was it easy? No. It's never easy being an entrepreneur. Never easy. But once you have passion and you acknowledge that passion, and passion, as I take folks through that, that passion is that thing that won't leave you alone. That thing that you think about, dream about, breathe about. You may have thought about it when you were a kid. I want to do this when I grow up. That thing that you can imagine doing every day for the rest of your life and not feel like work, that's your passion. Number two, purpose. You take that passion and you weave it into your purpose in alignment with your higher power. Okay, what am I here for? What's my incarnation objective? What's my purpose on a planet? What do you need me to do? Right? So when we have passion, purpose, and we ground and center it, it leads us into our prosperity, which is then our abundance. So passion, purpose, prosperity leads us into an energy of peace equals soul happiness. So that's the formula that Spirit has gifted me with. And then I then coach that same formula. Now, it also means that you have to have a steadfast energy of conviction that when things go left, and they do, the passion doesn't go left. The passion stays here. Even if things are going crazy around you, and they do, that doesn't mean you swerve on the purpose. The purpose still stays grounded, even though you got energy going around you to the right and to the left.
Mm.
And once you stay grounded into that in connection with your higher power, then inevitably the prosperity is going to follow. Now, in order to hold the prosperity, hold the abundance, if there's any energy, any trauma blocks, I call it money trauma, that's blocking you from holding that prosperity, that work has to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the prosperity is fleeting. We can't hold it.
Yes.
We give it away. It goes away. We may not be as responsible with our resources. We may not have a prosperity plan because there's money trauma that's still sitting there. I'm recovered from money trauma. So I know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
I was told early on, because I struggled in math as a third grade student, straight A's and everything else, but that math had me in balled up in a struggle in the third grade. Then I was told, you'll never be a businesswoman if you can't do math, Anyango. I was also told, well, Anyango's going to save the world, but I'm going to have to pay for it.
Mm.
I believe that. That became part of my story. So as a result, I never got the kind of love and support around money management, mm-hmm. financial management, prosperity management. And so that became money trauma for me.
Yeah.
Until it was time to release that so that my prosperity can be unblocked.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back to those painful experiences, those painful limiting messaging, and release all of that. So now the prosperity can flow. And when I tell you, I know I'm preaching to the converted here and we talk about the power of manifestation, but once that occurred, then all of a sudden the prosperity began to flow. The abundance began to flow. The plenty began to flow. And now I can share in a whole different way now.
Yeah.
Now I can help people in a whole different way. And now there's no turning back from that.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a whole new platform that I've created about releasing money trauma. When we can identify it in those limiting beliefs that we sometimes grow up through,
mm-hmm.
this is all I can have. You know, if we've grown up in meager beginnings, this is all that's here for me. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate you framing this way. Right. And, you know, poverty in itself, we know, can create that, but there are things that can happen later on in life, like you described, that can also create that. And our goal is not just to bring in money. Our goal is to be able to hold onto it, not so tightly, because one of the, you know, the laws is that money is meant to be spent. Right.
Correct.
Because more
Correct.
Is coming. There's always Correct. More coming. Now, what it's, you know, you're not supposed to spend all of it unless you're told you're supposed to spend all of it, because you hear about people getting prophecies or people losing, you know, immense wealth and then gaining so much more later on in life. Right. Because we don't know the lesson. We don't know the vehicle by which the lesson is going to come. But all we need to know is that we can trust source through this, right? And that as we continue to show up and we face ourselves and we do that inner work and we do that outer work, we will continue to be able to navigate through, get to the flow state. But just because we reach the flow state once doesn't mean the flow state is staying. Like you said, you might slip in to a space where there ain't no flow right now. And all you have to do is, and you just got to trust, right? Until that flow comes back.
Write that. And right there is the T and the F word, trust and faith.
Yes. Yes.
Right
yes.
there.
Mm. Mm.
No, you say source, I say spirit or universe. However we engage our relationship with a higher power, trust.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, hold on to the passion and the purpose. Hold it, knowing that your next level is coming. We don't know when, we just know it is.
Come on, Sister Nyango. Okay. Oh, that was so good. So we're going to switch gears a little bit, but of course, we're still talking about abundance, liberation. You have used dance for more than 40 years as a part of your liberatory practice. And many people, as you know, don't engage with dance because we're afraid to dance, right? We don't want people to see us out in public. We don't. And yet dance has been a spiritual practice since the beginning of time, essentially. And so for folks who are resistant to embody dance as a liberation practice, whether that's me turning on my music and dancing while I'm cooking dinner or doing it in more formal spiritual contexts, all of it is going to provide a sense of healing for us, right? So for folks who have resisted this because they've been socialized to not want to be seen in the midst of dance, how can we counter that for them so that they can embrace this very powerful practice?
One word, movement. Release the energy of dance, embrace the energy of movement.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every body needs to move.
Mm-hmm.
Failure to move means we stagnate. And that's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. We have to move.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, even as we age, we still have to move. We just have to redefine what movement means, but we still need to move. Recently, I didn't ask for it, didn't apply for it, just landed in my lap with another colleague of ours. Both of us are fitness professionals. I'm a dancer and she was also a bodybuilder. We decided we're doing gentle, fun movement inspired by African, Caribbean, and Latin rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle, fun movement. No dance, no fitness. In 4 weeks, we hit 600 people in vulnerable neighborhoods in the city of Hartford in Connecticut. Why? Because no one said dance. No one said fitness. Because right away, there's like, but not with movement and not with gentle and fun movement. So, yeah. And we have to move because we need movement equates to excitement, right?
Yes.
And then all kind of energies happen in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And mindfulness equates to contemplation.
Yeah.
Moments of reflection equates to integration. So what I stand on now is the fly movement, creating experiences to create change, body, mind, heart, and spirit, movement, mindfulness, moments of reflection.
Yeah.
So find that music that makes you move.
Mm.
Your streaming services, whether it's Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, create that playlist. Those songs that, you know, makes you want to say to me, ooh, that's my song.
Yeah.
Make that playlist of 10 tracks. Hit play. And all of a sudden, you know, we're doing all kinds of movement. It doesn't matter. Just move, move, move. And then you're going to start feeling an energy of excitement start moving through your body. Brain fog reduces, right? Those hormones start emerging. And all of a sudden, you got ideas that you didn't even know you had. You got wherewithal that you didn't even know was in you. Now you're like, oh, I can do that. I can do that because we're moving now.
Yeah.
We have an energy of excitement that's now moving through that body, that mind, that heart, and their spirit. Movement. That's my response to that. No dance, no fitness, but movement.
Yeah. Oh, this is, I love this very, it's a subtle, but a very powerful shift, right? And clearly knowing the number of people that you were able to touch over this very short period of time is evident that with small shifts, they can make a considerable difference to inviting people to enter in, because it doesn't matter what language we use, right? We want people to just come. We want people to just come and get this healing, right? Because it's a part of your birthright. And I love that you said, and you know, we're not talking about music therapy, but music in itself, right? That music that makes you want to dance, who cares? You know, you may not even care what the words say, right?
Right.
Your body just reacts to it, right? And you're being called to engage in it. Now, sometimes music, you know, it is the words, right? And the words are some of the things that help to wrap us up in healing, or thought or whatever it might be. But doing this mindless, but mindful practice and just allowing our body to do what it naturally feels propelled to do in these moments, that is creating expansion for us. Right.
Yes.
You said it not only, and it's fun, right? And it's a lot of fun to get caught up in music and to allow it to do what it does and to serve the purpose that it was meant to serve. if we are really connecting it for in a spiritual, and we're using it as a spiritual practice, right? And we're, because anytime that we're engaged in it, we know that we're providing an opportunity for us to heal, right? I'm about to have a dance party actually right after our interview. So that said, that said, Sister Anyango, talk to us about a final piece of inspiration that you have for people to step into abundance as their birthright.
I would say, believe it. Those two words. When we can believe that it is ours and affirm that it is ours by using the power of affirmations, because I use this frequently in my own practice, but also in my coaching practice, simply affirming, I am worthy and deserving of abundance in my life. I would add fly life, of course, because everything's fly.
Yeah.
I am worthy and deserving of abundance in my fly life. Fly again, that freedom to love the you and you. I can have that internal, external freedom. If I begin to affirm, I am worthy and deserving of abundance in my life 3 times a day, watch what begins to happen. Because even if we don't believe it quite yet, do it anyway. And then watch what begins to happen when things start shifting and changing. Everything around you is begun. You're going to see things differently. Everything is going to look different, feel different. Relationships may begin to shift, because if we're holding a certain energy of abundance and we're in relationships of lack, they cannot stay.
Come on.
They cannot stay. When we start shifting, that doesn't necessarily mean the relationships around us will shift. They may not. Which means we may have to uncomfortably release some folks. Because if I'm moving in an energy of abundance and you're holding on to an energy of lack, your energy is going to be too heavy for me to hold, which means my wings are grounded and I can't fly. That's not about to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I have to do the uncomfortable work of releasing relationships that no longer serve my highest good.
Yeah. You know, I can relate to this so much. And I imagine that you've had tons of people come in and out of your life over the years. And as you have continued to level up, and you know, I there's a joke in my friend group that's Damara's cutoff game is no joke. And it's true, because it's not personal. And I just know that I can't take everybody with me. I would love to. God knows I would love to, but that's not how it works, because I can only work on myself. And if people don't do the work that they need to do to also level up, it means that I'm moving forward and you're going to be left behind in the process. It's not personal. And I'm choosing myself in this, because part of choosing self means that we get to choose the people that we're called to choose with our light. Right? That we are drawn to. And I can't do what I need to do if I'm allowing you to hold me back in that. So thank you for giving us that final nugget, my sister. So all that said, it has come to an end. Cannot believe it. I'd love to keep talking to you. We flowed. I told you it would be like that. It was like a ping pong match, right? Like that's what a good conversation is. Listen. And so talk to us, my sister, about how we can stay in touch with you, because I know that the audience is going to want to do that in all of the ways. And I think that you also have a freebie, right? Is that true?
I do. So
okay, let's talk about it.
Regardless of where, you know, anyone is, if there's an opportunity where you feel like you want more, need more, I have what's called a freedom call. It's 30 minutes, complimentary. You just connect with me. We jump on Zoom and we talk, chat. Wow. And so those are complimentary. So you can find me on Facebook under Sister, S-A-S-T-H, Anyango. The personal profile is up there. You can DM me under that. The Fly Movement, my business page, is also on Facebook and also on Instagram. Those are probably the quickest ways to reach me.
Sister Onyango, it has been such a pleasure. I am deeply grateful that our paths cross and that we are in this space together to help people to tap into having more abundance and doing so with ease. So thank you, my sister, for the good work that you're doing. You have inspired me today, and I know that you've inspired the audience. And so just keep sharing your light. Keep cultivating your light so that we can keep tapping into that good light. Oh, and it is good. It is so good. So that said, my beautiful sisters, you heard it here at the Global Abundance Summit. We are delighted that you joined us and the other 17 speakers that are on the lineup to help you to get what you need to have the life that you want. Make sure that you take advantage of this freedom call and you follow Sister Onyango in all the ways, and you follow her work, because clearly she's doing some amazing things around community. And if you're looking to build community, I imagine that she can be a reservoir of inspiration for you. Until next time, beauties. Ashay.